Okay. It's gonna mess up, isn't it? We'll get rid of this. Huh? You heard that? You can hear that? My voice is exploding now, isn't it? It's not coming back to me. How about now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yep.
All right. All right, a New York family bought a ranch out west. They intended to raise cattle. You might have heard this before. Friends visited and asked if the ranch had a name. They said, well, I wanted to name it Bar J, Bar J Ranch. And my wife favored Susie Q. She wanted to name it Susie Q. And I've got two sons. One of them liked the Flying W, but the other one wanted the Lazy Y. So we're calling it the Bar J Susie Q Flying W Lazy Y. They said, well, where are all the cattle? They said, they didn't survive the branding. Didn't make it through the branding. You got to be careful about branding. But, you know, battles are going on every day around us, each and every day. And it's not just what we see overseas or in Iran. We have our personal battles that we're going through, and just local battles. And you know, and in those battles, there's just pressure. There's pressure to pick a side. You got to pick a side. You know, we can't agree to disagree anymore. We can't have civil, open conversations anymore. We can't even have different opinions. It's the who is not for us is against us rule. You know, if you're not for us, then you're obviously against us. And that's the way we'll treat you. We need to be careful about branding. But nowadays, it's almost desired. It's almost wanted. I saw, well, maybe you did too, the Michigan government representative was complaining. It's about a lack of funding for certain groups of people. And they now have the, we know certain groups with certain letters. Well, now they've expanded. And they now have letters of, that they belong to the MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+. Now that's a branding. That's a label. They've expanded it to cover. I'm not going to even tell you what it all means. You can look it up if you care. But it's about murder and indigenous women, and that it just keeps expanding. But you know, they do that and say, you know, that's how you need to know us. And that's how we're known. And it used to be people didn't want to be labeled, but that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. But I want to keep in mind, you know, this is a battle, really, it's a spiritual battle. It's not between people, it's spiritual forces that are battling. And that battle is going to continue to grow and worsen in the last days. And I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 to start off with. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. And then it gives a list of how people are going to be, the characteristics that we're going to see. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. So Paul here is talking about people in the last days, where people will not worship God, but will worship people and will worship things. And I think we see a lot of that today. And all that leads to more sin, which as it multiplies, creates a spiritual blindness, which then allows for belief in lies that's being shed and not the truth. Where the love of self creates our own God. You know, a lot of people are pretty proud of themselves. You know, we make ourselves God because we make our own decisions because we know everything. We're pretty smart. We're pretty intelligent. A lot of people think about themselves. You know, I can make the decisions because I know. My body, my rights. You know, I have the right to decide over life and death. I have that right. And yes, I belong to MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+. But I'm also a Christian. People will make up their own version of God. And you can't tell me I'm not a Christian. People will glorify themselves and give in to their own wants and perceived needs. They'll change the Bible to say what they think it says or what they want it to say. You know, in the last days, it'll all be normal. It'll be okay. It'll be the norm, not the oddity. You know, lovers of money is one of them. Greedy people. You know, we were just talking downstairs. There's money to be made in government. People go in with a fairly modest salary and come out millionaires in just a few short years. College, NIL money, NIL, name, image, and likeness. They decided to pay college players for playing sports games, making millions of dollars. And now they don't want to leave. Now there's lawsuits to stay in school 5, 6, 7, 8 years because they can get paid to play. They don't want to leave. We call them student athletes. We don't call them professional paid players, but that's what they are. Boastful and proud. We know how great we are. Abusive is obvious. It's getting more violent verbally and physically, even at the smallest of issues. People spewing hatred at others at the drop of a hat. It doesn't take much. Online and live. And it starts online. It gets so easy to bash people through social media and things when you're not there. Then it becomes easier in person because they've grown accustomed to that. Disobedient to parents. I'm sure that happens, but probably our bigger issue is it requires parents. We lack the family unit today that we need, that God planned. And we lack parents who take responsibility to be parents in teaching, in discipline, and in loving. We lack the family unit. Ungrateful. How many people have you seen basically, I deserve it and you owe it to me? Unholy, without love, unforgiving. Three of the things God has set apart for. Set apart, made holy. To love and to forgive. Slanderous, watch the news. Watch TV. It's no problem saying things about other people. No self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lover of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It goes on and on. It's an all about me world. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. We could look religious. But do we have the spiritual experience? always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Those who read, study, can recite the word, but they don't understand it. They don't acknowledge the truth of the word, and they haven't allowed the word to transform their life. Christians, I believe, are fully equipped to do what God wants us to do. Christians, I believe, have the knowledge. They're prepared. They've got the armor of God for protection. The Word of God is their offensive weapon. The true church, the body of believers, have a mission to go on. You know, that's our part of the battle. Jesus gave it before he sent it. He said, go make disciples. Go tell. Go tell you've seen me. Go tell what I've done. The believers do the same thing as the others. They do the reading. They do the studying as well. But then they tell others of their experience at meeting God and being in his presence, the spiritual experience, the truth and honesty of how life-changing it is. And hopefully that leads others into the wanting that same thing. There's religious, and then there's Christian. You know, the biggest differences are submission and faith. You know, one's all about Jesus. The other one's still all about us. So the giving up of self versus being full of self. Jonas and Jambres, if you don't know, were the Pharaoh's magicians when Moses was there. They knew a lot of stuff. They were learned people, but they weren't faithful people. They weren't of faith. I want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Again, talking about the latter times. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5 says, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. You know, the later times will have these religious teachers deceiving people. I think we see that as well. You see it on TV, you see it on social media, the number of people out there giving messages and sending messages is, I think, more than I've ever seen before. There's a lot of deception out there. It says it's causing them to abandon the faith and follow things taught by demons. You know, we don't give demons maybe enough credit, but they're controlling people. They're guiding people in leadership. They're telling them things they want to hear. And in turn, they tell people the things they want to hear. And they change the spiritual back to the ritual. Just want to get to habits, bad habits. Their consciences are seared as people buy into the lies that have been poured into their minds over and over again. People who follow and do not stay in the word and prayer fall into the wrong doctrine and the wrong morality. You got to stay up with God to stay in his will, because others will drag you down. Why would somebody follow a false teacher? Well, we live in an age when almost anything can be true if someone truly believes it. People want to believe. I think they do. People are also looking for something to believe in. They're struggling. I think they're hungry for spiritual things, even if they don't understand it themselves. Then you've also got people looking for the quick and easy answer to problems that they might have. Of course, there's plenty of teachers that will tell them what they want to hear and confirm what they believe they know. to make it easy. The gospel isn't easy. Following Christ is not easy. And he didn't say it would be. Matter of fact, the opposite. He said it would be hard. But he said it'd be worth it. Now, the battle rages on, but I don't want to leave all doom and gloom here. There's great news, too. There's good news in the last days. And I want to read Acts chapter 2, verses 17 to 21. Acts 2, 17 to 21. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, as God is patient and he waits for us to come to him, Satan is still battling to keep us from God. And he wants to turn true Christians away or at least damage their reputation in Christ. So there's a battle that's ongoing. But in the last days, God's going to pour out his spirit on people. It says all people. Prophecies, visions, dreams from all people. It's wonders in heavens and on earth. Now, tribulation period is going to be full of signs and wonders too. And the true church, I believe the body of believers, are already going to be gone. But there will still be false teachers and the church in name only. But there's going to be also people there. There's going to be witnesses. You know, God says there's going to be a couple of witnesses there. There's going to be 144,000 that's going to still spread the gospel. You know, even if the church is gone, the true church, the body's gone, he still wants people to come to him. Through the very end of Revelation, he's calling on people to come. So even then, God's saving people. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's his whole plan. He never gives up on that. I'm going to have an invitation, but I want to close with 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 3 through 13. You know, just know that God's word is true and God's timing is his alone. It's not for us to decide what's best. God's will is best. 2 Peter 3, 3 through 13 says, above all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And they will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's words, the heaven came into being. And the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also, the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some has understood slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Again, the battle's all around us, happening in a lot of ways. Some big ways, some small ways, you know. We celebrated a risen Savior this week. All the while, believers in Nigeria are being hunted down and killed for believing and confessing that same Savior. We see the evil leadership in Iran and them killing protesters, many of whom are coming to Christ in that country. You know, there's little things too. We see AI in the computer world kind of taking over things. I think AI is very scary. I think other people are starting to see it. Yet it's ironic, you know, Adam and Eve ate the apple in the garden. Many of us carry around computers and phones with an apple emblem with a bite taken out of it. People watched the spaceship this week. We saw the spaceship Artemis go around the moon, and awesome pictures of space and the moon and the earth. Everybody gets to hear Victor Glover, one of the astronauts, praising God, repeating scripture, to love God and to love others. You know, putting God's word out there for the whole world to hear. We see professional sports players speaking out on issues of the day, some good, some bad. Many may be more than ever pointing to God and giving thanks for the blessings he's given them. Others promoting lifestyles and choices that would be against God's word. Always had players that have made bad decisions, that have done drugs, that have been abusive in their relationships, and many other things. Generally without facing too much consequence in their life. Then we see an NBA player in Jaden Ivey who gets fired for not conforming to celebrate Pride Month. You know, he commented that being a Christian, he couldn't celebrate unrighteousness. Now the team decided he was saying things detrimental to the team and the beliefs of the team and what they stood for. Well, praise God. No, he's out of the NBA. He doesn't have a job in playing basketball anymore, but he's out on the Chicago streets preaching God. I was talking to Lisa and Wayne, even local people make some choices. Because, you know, I write up a little short version of the Sunday message, a smaller version, and we put it on our website, and we also submit it to the newspaper, along with, you know, meetings we have and events we have, and church times and things. And we've done that since I've been here, you know, which is at least for, 3 years. If you miss Bible study, you missed ice cream and stuff, so my official three-year anniversary, so you miss out a lot when you don't come to Bible study, so Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock, but we've done it all the time, and it was listed in the church news section of the newspaper, and there were a few churches that submitted things, but over time, they've all slowly fell out. They quit doing it, so that we're the only ones that make a submission into that category now. So, and it's been church news, and they'll put pretty much everything that I've put in there. You know, a brief synopsis of the message and what we got going on. But a few weeks ago, we noticed they changed the name. You know, it's no longer just church news. They've, in front of it, they've put the word opinion. So now it reads opinion/church news. You know, so somebody had to come to a realization like, uh-oh, maybe we can't say some of these things. You know, it's the truth of God's word. They determined we might get in trouble. This is my own thoughts, my opinion. That somebody's had to say something that we need to protect ourselves, so we need to call it an opinion and not just church news. But hey, they still print it. It's still in a newspaper, and I hope people are getting something out of it. But the battle's on. You know, things may look bleak in places, but God has so much going on. And he's working and he's using Christians to bring in the harvest before he returns. And it's happening, and you see it in young people, young sports teams, college teams, and not just in the teams that are doing prayers and giving God the glory, but other areas of college. They're all coming. There's coming to Christ. It's a lot of young people coming. And we should be joyful knowing that God and his word are true. His promises are going to come to pass. That we belong to him, and he's bringing this. The end times are coming because he's harvesting right now. So I just want you to don't get down. A lot of ornery things happen, but there's a lot of good things and great things happening. God's working. So stay in faith. Not only that, but it says look forward to his return. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something to look forward to. Look forward to his return. Keep persevering. Keep wearing that armor. Stay in the battle. Let's pray.